Okay, let's dive deep today. Looking at, Lamentations 3.5266
Okay.
with Dr. Leslie Allen's lecture, he uncovers some really interesting layers of meaning when it comes to grievance and guilt and God's redemption.
Yeah, it's really amazing how he can take something like Lamentations and make it, apply to today, just universal human experiences. And he really emphasizes in these verses this shift to a grievance-based lament. So it's not just, mourning a loss, but it's like really being wronged.
So there's like a sense of injustice there.
Yeah, like you're being treated unfairly and it just burns you up inside.
It's definitely more intense. Almost like when someone cuts you off in traffic, but like 1,000 times worse. And he talks about, uses the metaphor of hunted like a bird, which I thought was very interesting
Yeah, that's a good one.
to describe that feeling of being trapped and relentlessly pursued.
Yeah, and it really captures that sense of like being targeted, unjustly persecuted, but what's really interesting here is that he suggests this passage actually contains two distinct laments
Wait, two laments.
within one prayer.
Two laments and what? How can you tell where one ends and the other begins?
Well, that's where there's some debate among scholars about the exact dividing line. But Dr. Allen makes a pretty compelling argument that the break happens at the end of verse 58. The first lament centers around this really powerful image of being thrown into a water-filled cistern.
That's a little intense. Talk about feeling trapped
Talk about bleak.
and helpless.
But remember, these cisterns were often used to store water. They could be pretty deep and dark. So being thrown into one would be terrifying.
Yeah, like I'm claustrophobic. I would not like to be thrown into a cistern.
Definitely evokes feelings of confinement and even, drowning.
Yeah.
So the speaker's basically crying out from the depths of despair.
So it's not just physical, it's like emotional and spiritual. Like, I am suffocating.
There's just no way out.
No way out.
And Dr. Allen points out this really interesting detail. The Hebrew word for stone in this passage is singular, which suggests that the cistern may have had a lid sealing the speaker's fate.
So it's like sealed in.
Yeah, it's like emphasizing this sense of complete isolation and hopelessness. But then we see this glimmer of light breaking through the darkness.
I'm intrigued. Does someone come and rescue him? How does he get out of this pit?
Well, this is where it gets really interesting. God seemingly speaks directly to the speaker, offering comfort and reassurance with the words, "Do not fear." So you can imagine the impact of that intervention,
Yeah, like a lifeline.
Yeah, like a lifeline being thrown down into this pit of despair.
It's one thing to complain to your friends, but it's another thing when God steps in and says, "Don't worry, I got this."
And this type of divine response isn't unique to Lamentations. Dr. Allen points out we see similar instances in songs. Where God's voice kind of breaks into the lament. And shifts the entire tone from despair to hope.
So even in those, like, I'm stuck in this pit moments, God's like, "I'm here.
I'm here.
Don't worry, I got you." But what about this redemption thing that Dr. Allen keeps bringing up? It feels kind of theological and abstract to me. How does that play into this whole cistern situation?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
He actually unpacks the word redemption in a really cool way that makes it relevant to us today. He explains that in ancient times, redemption was closely tied to family. And the idea of next of kin.
Like family helping you out.
Yeah, think of it like a family member stepping up to help in time of need.
So
less about some far-off spiritual concept. And more about tangible support.
So like your family member helps you out of a financial bind or stands up for you when you're being bullied.
And he uses the story of Ruth and Boaz to illustrate this concept. So Boaz, as the next of kin, he stepped up to redeem Ruth and Naomi, becoming their protector and provider. He literally saved them from a life of poverty and despair.
That makes a lot more sense to me. Like redemption is practical on the ground help in a crisis.
And what's fascinating is that the term redemption, it evolved over time and took off these broader meanings. So he connects it to the Exodus from Egypt, where God redeemed his people from slavery, and then to the hoped for second Exodus from Babylon, the future redemption from exile.
So it's both historical and spiritual.
Packed with significance.
So we got grievance, we got confinement of divine intervention and redemption.
That's the first part.
In the first part of this lament. Where does it go from here? What happens in the second episode?
Well, remember how we talked about the shift from grief to grievance? In the second episode, the focus shifts again. From outward physical persecution to a more insidious form of attack. Verbal abuse.
Ooh, that's interesting. So instead of being thrown in a cistern, now he's dealing with, like,
the power of words.
Words. Yeah. And I think we can all relate to that to a certain extent, right? Like being cut down by someone's harsh words.
Oh, absolutely. And Dr. Allen points out how words like malice, plots, taunts, and whispers are repeated throughout this second lament.
Oh, wow.
Highlighting the relentlessness of the verbal abuse.
Yeah.
It's like a constant drip.
Just chipping away at your spirit.
Exactly. Chipping away at the speaker's spirit.
It's like, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me.
Right.
Totally false.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Allen actually even makes a point of saying that.
Really?
You know, acknowledging how deeply words can wound.
Yeah.
And he introduces this really fascinating concept of taunt songs.
Taunt songs.
As a form of mockery and psychological abuse.
Okay. So I'm picturing, like, a group of kids on a playground singing these, like,
yeah,
mean-spirited rhymes about each other.
That's a great analogy.
Is that kind of what we're talking about?
Yeah, essentially, they were used to humiliate and demoralize enemies.
Oh, wow.
You know, adding insult to injury through this, like, snide humor.
Right.
And, like, false sympathy.
So they're experiencing this verbal abuse, and then there's also these songs,
yeah,
designed to, like, break their spirit.
Yeah, Dr. Allen actually references a passage in Micah chapter 4.
Okay.
Where taunt songs are actually described as a form of punishment.
Wow, so it's like the ancient version of cyberbullying.
Right.
Using words as weapons.
Exactly.
Okay.
And in the face of this relentless torment, the speaker in Lamentations finally cries out to God for justice in verse 64.
Okay, so he's like, enough is enough.
Yeah, he's reached a breaking point.
Okay.
And he's pleading with God to punish these tormentors, to pay them back for the pain that they've inflicted.
Okay, but wouldn't that go against, like, the idea of forgiveness?
Right.
You know, like, turn the other cheek, love your enemies.
Well, that's a question a lot of people wrestle with,
yeah,
when reading the Old Testament.
Right.
Dr. Allen acknowledges that tension.
Okay.
But then he offers a counterpoint. He references a passage in Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians.
Okay.
Where Paul actually speaks of God repaying those who inflict suffering.
Interesting. So it's not so much about personal revenge, but divine justice.
Exactly. Like, okay, God stepping in to right the wrongs and make sure that, you know, justice is served.
So it's like this idea of God as a judge.
Right.
Who cares about fairness and righteousness?
Exactly. He's not this distant and different deity.
Right.
He's actively involved.
Right. And he's expected to intervene on behalf of those who are suffering unjustly.
Right.
So it's a good reminder that even when we feel powerless in the face of injustice,
we can appeal to a higher power.
We can appeal to God.
Exactly.
Okay, but does Dr. Allen tell us how God responds? Does he actually pay back these tormentors?
Well, that's a great question, and that's something that he kind of leaves open-ended.
Oh, really?
He doesn't give us a clear resolution.
So he wants us to wrestle with it.
Yeah, I think it's intentional.
To kind of consider how God might work.
Right.
In ways we don't understand.
Exactly.
Okay, so maybe it's a reminder that sometimes our prayers for justice,
right,
don't get answered in the way that we expect or in the time frame that we want.
Doesn't mean God isn't listening.
Right.
Or that he doesn't care.
Okay, that's a tough concept, but important one to grapple with.
Definitely.
So let's step back for a second and look at the bigger picture here.
Okay.
Dr. Allen argues that these two laments that we're seeing woven together in,
yeah,
this passage,
yes,
serve a purpose for the original audience.
Absolutely.
What is it?
So he really emphasizes that these testimonies, both the one about guilt and the one about grievance, are meant to provide a model for the congregation.
Okay.
Like, look, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've felt that same anguish, that same sense of injustice.
Yeah.
But I brought it to God.
You can too.
And you can too.
So it's like a call to action to engage.
Engage with those experiences,
right,
of suffering.
And bring them to God.
Yeah. And I love how in that first episode, God responds so directly.
Right. With that, do not fear.
Do not fear. It's like this, you know, instills hope in the congregation.
Right.
That God is present. That he hears their cries.
He's capable.
That he's capable,
right,
of intervening in powerful ways.
Wow. So even in the midst of Lamentations,
right,
which is filled with, you know, raw emotion and grief,
there's that underlying message of hope.
Of hope and divine comfort.
Absolutely.
We're not alone.
We're not alone
in our suffering.
Right.
We have a God who hears us.
Hears our cries.
Understands our pain.
Understands.
And offers us hope.
Even in the darkest times.
And that's a message that transcends time and culture.
Absolutely.
It speaks to the deepest parts of our human experience.
Yes, it does.
You know, it really strikes me that even with all this talk about suffering, you know, Lamentations doesn't leave us in a pit of despair.
Right.
Like, there's this thread of hope running through it.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Allen's analysis really helps us to see that movement.
Yeah.
From darkness to light, from despair to hope.
So yeah. It's not just like, you know, sit and wait for God to fix everything.
Right.
It's about, like, engaging with him through prayer.
Absolutely.
Even when it's hard.
Even when those prayers are filled with, you know, raw emotion and cries for justice.
So less about everything happens for a reason.
Right.
But more about, like, even when things are bad, I can bring my pain and confusion to God.
Yes.
And he'll hear me.
And he'll hear you. And what's really fascinating is that, you know, he doesn't shy away from the complexities of these ancient texts.
Yeah.
He recognizes that they grapple with these really tough questions.
Yeah.
About suffering and justice and God's role in it all.
Right.
And questions that we're still asking today.
And it's refreshing to hear a scholar acknowledge that the Bible's not afraid to get real.
Right.
Like, to dive into that messiness of human experience and explore, you know, the full range of emotions, even anger and frustration with God.
Absolutely. And by doing so, it invites us to be honest with God.
Yeah.
About our own struggles and doubts. You know, we don't have to pretend like we have it all figured out.
Right.
We can come to him with our raw emotions, our questions, even our...
He can handle it.
He can handle
it. Like, Lamentations is giving us permission to be real.
Yeah, to be authentic.
Like, bring your whole self.
Your whole self, not the polished, put-together version.
Right. And I think that's a key takeaway from this whole deep dive. You know, Dr. Allen isn't just giving us a lecture on ancient literature. He's offering us a model.
A model for how to engage with God in the midst of our own suffering.
So how can we apply this to our lives today?
Yeah.
Like, what does it look like to bring our grievances to God?
Well, I think it starts with just acknowledging our pain and naming it, honestly.
Okay.
You know, don't try to minimize it or pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Bring it before God in all its rawness.
Like the speaker in Lamentations.
Exactly.
But is there a danger in getting stuck in that place of grievance?
Yeah.
Like, how do we move from complaining to trusting?
Yeah, that's where the element of hope comes in.
Okay.
As we're pouring out our hearts to God.
Yeah.
We also need to remember his character.
Right.
His promises, his faithfulness in the past.
So we remind ourselves that he sees us.
He sees you. He hears your cries and he cares.
So it's balancing honesty with hope, lament and with trust.
Absolutely.
And God's timing isn't always our timing.
Right. Sometimes he acts quickly. Other times it feels like he's silent or distant.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that he's not working.
That can be really tough.
It can be tough.
When you're longing for relief.
Absolutely. But Lamentations teaches us that even in those moments of waiting and uncertainty, we can still find comfort and strength in God's presence.
So we can cry out to him.
Cry out to
him. Pour out our hearts and just trust that he's listening.
He's listening even when we don't see those immediate answers.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Lamentations, what's one thing you hope listeners take away from this whole conversation?
I think the most important takeaway is that our struggles, our pain, even our anger, don't disqualify us from approaching God.
Okay.
In fact, they can become the very things that draw us closer to him.
Wow.
When we bring our grievances to him honestly and authentically, we open ourselves up to his healing, his comfort, and his transforming power.
That's powerful, and it speaks to the relevance of Lamentations. It reminds us we're not alone in our suffering.
Right.
And that God is big enough to handle all of our emotions.
All of them.
Even the messy ones.
Even the messy ones, absolutely.
Yeah, this has given us so much to think about.
It has.
And I hope our listeners feel empowered to engage with Scripture in a new way, to bring their questions and struggles to God and to trust in his goodness and faithfulness.
Well said. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep discovering the riches of God's Word.